better put him in the Heisman.
Got that wood right here, baby.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
They're going to run and get that boot.
The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season.
A baseball team is on the way back. A College World Series title. The Bomb Stadium.
I almost got fired because I went Willie the Boss after I had a little too much sauce.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Even better on a What's Your Beef Wednesday. Clay Henry will be here today since we were off Monday. We never have Clay on a What's Your Beef Wednesday. So today we get Clay. And I can imagine a grumpy old fella like Clay in a segment like this. This could be fantastic.
I was on purposely not saying he was going to be joining us for What's Your Beef
Wednesday. Did I mention Clay Henry will be with us today?
Y'all
need to get more
rumor.
Playful about this. People are starting to take you serious that you don't like Clay. No. That's not going to be good for you.
No, listen. I love Clay. He makes me mad, but
more
I love
playful.
Clay. Yeah. No, we have fun.
Or maybe
here on
I'm
this
uncomfortable.
Show. I bet say I think it might be more Tommy, because you know Tommy is in a position too where you know not only as the I don't know what your title is even your boss.
Janitor.
So I'll just say that. But you know you have sometimes you have to do conflict management. You have to make sure that everybody's
I feel like my whole life is conflict.
Yes,
management.
Exactly. Like you
quit hitting your sister,
and then
quit annoying your brother,
and honestly, Tommy, what is an official
Coach,
in sporting events? Yes,
Coach, I think we had a good look at it.
It is a conflict management position that yourself in. So you're just used to it. That's what something you just have to do.
But Coach, you called me a bleep. Bleep, 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 bleep. That's why you got a flag.
Yes, yes. Well, see, you're just all about the conflict management, so that
so
seems
now
fitting.
I know. I come in here for a break, and now I got to referee you and Clay.
Well, you know that, Tommy. You know that that's never going to happen. So, but you're good at it.
Yeah, it's probably good for you because Clay's got that old man strength. He just whoop you and then tie you up with fishing line, and it'd be over for you. Be curtains.
I don't even think I've ever seen Clay do anything fast.
Doesn't matter if you're fast.
Well, I was told in college football it matters if you're fast.
Well,
that's what I was
not
told.
Not in this conversation.
Not in this conversation. But which, by the way, I don't know if this is going to have anything to do with my beef later or not. But hey, you know, talking about officials, at least you weren't that official got headbutted. I don't know if you saw that story and that high school story, but that was pretty crazy. We may have some fun with that later in the show as well. But you know, today obviously is a What's Your Beef Wednesday, and since we're just a few days away from Arkansas and Ole Miss. I really want to look at, not completely move on from the Portland State game, because I feel like there's still some things you can take from, and there's maybe still a few that want your reactions to be heard here on the Morning Rush, which you can do so calling in or texting into the Cherokee Casino Hotline, 877-377-6963. But I want to move on to looking ahead to Ole Miss, because from the very get-go, from the time that this schedule was released, we all knew that this game against Ole Miss was the game of the season for Arkansas. It was the make or break game. It was the game that Arkansas is going to have their best chance at getting an SEC victory. But it's also a game that many believe that if you start off on the right foot, or if you want to start really making that progress towards the right trend of being a better football program, especially in 2019, it will start with Ole Miss. Ole Miss is not a good football team. They are by far the worst SEC team Arkansas will be playing this year. And if you really look at the history, and I'm probably going to be wrong about this because I always get stats wrong, but since 2010, Arkansas has only lost to Ole Miss three times. So of all the SEC teams that Arkansas plays every year, they've actually had a lot of success against Ole Miss. Last year should have beaten them, but we all know how that
ended. Thank you, Hunter Henry.
Yes, yeah, and in 2015 with the Henry Heave, we all thank them for that. But the point is that Arkansas has always had Ole Miss's number, at least for the most part, but this is a new year. These are new teams, and we all know that this game for Arkansas is going to be the difference between having a disappointing year or having a really good year compared to what they had last season.
And then, you know, obviously people are kind of nervous about the way things are going. It's very important, obviously, to play well and, you know, win on the road this week at Ole Miss. Love to get that winless SEC streak off your back. I'm starting to hear people rumble and grumble a little bit, concerned about what if you lose to Ole Miss and then you lose to your next two non-conference opponents. So I think we're way too far down the railroad tracks on that conversation. But that's on some people's minds out there. I don't think everybody's mind or the majority, but people are starting to get a little bit restless. I think this could, like, be one of the, you know, when they fight forest fires and planes come in and they sweep low and then they drop a bunch of water out and he just puts the fire out. A win this week could be that rescue plane coming in and just putting out this forest fire that I think is starting to rumble a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, you think about just, of course, last year, but it's been a long time since Razorback fans have had a good feeling about football. Like, where they just had a week where they could kind of relish in that good feeling. Because I know they won even two games last year, but no one was just pumped up when they beat East Illinois. No one was just jumping up and down when they beat Tulsa. It didn't mean anything.
In hindsight, I mean, everybody's all hacked off because they didn't win by enough and the offense didn't look good enough against Portland State in a 2013 final. They crushed Eastern Illinois last year, a similar type opponent.
Got you 2-10.
So maybe opposite is better. I don't know. But I know this, a big win last Saturday wouldn't have meant anything because it didn't mean a thing a year ago.
Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, if you really think about it, if Arkansas would have won 50-14, how much different would you be feeling this week about Ole Miss? I mean probably no different.
Well, honestly, you'd probably be overconfident. You know, and in reality, I know this is hard for some of us to digest, including me. But 20-13, considering what Ole Miss did against Memphis, if Arkansas had went out and won by 40, do you think maybe there would be a little bit of complacency? Oh, that we got Ole Miss. I mean, hell, they lost to Memphis. I mean, at least now you know you got to take everything serious. And listen, when you went 2-10, you ought to take everything serious.
Yeah.
But I think this squashes anyone's feelings of complacency against Ole Miss, which you should never have.
Yeah. And see, I don't know if they would have started feeling that way. Just because everybody knows that it's like, until it actually happens, you're not going to feel confident in it.
I really believe you got to focus on yourself right now and just worry about being a better football team and everything else will fall into place. So,
well, I do agree with that. But you also have to understand we saw this past weekend can't happen again.
There's part of me that wonders if you'd won 50 or 60 something to 13 or 10 or whatever by some of the scores that we predicted, would you have taken things maybe a little less serious? Maybe you're stepping up your urgency a little bit more this week knowing, hey, we got some serious problems here to work through.
Yeah, that's for sure. Let's get into some quick hitting headlines presented by Williams Tractor.
Yeah, Williams Tractor has the nonstop workhorse for your nonstop world with the PowerStar utility tractors from New Holland. Check them out today with six different models to choose from 64 to 117 engine horsepower and two different cab options. The PowerStar family of tractors available at Williams Tractor in Fayetteville, Berryville, and Bobcat of Northwest Arkansas in Rogers.
Big headline that just came across this morning, Zeke Elliott has agreed to a deal with the Dallas Cowboys, roughly for 6-year, $90 million extension, roughly half of that money guaranteed, so about $45 million.
And that's the number that matters, is the guaranteed money.
Highest paid running back in the NFL. So he got his wish, Jerry got his guy, and now he's back with the Dallas Cowboys. So all you Cowboy fans,
so
rejoice.
No more Cabo. Man, that was the life. Not getting paid, but hey, hanging out in Cabo.
Yeah.
Waiting to get paid.
Yeah, so it's not. Yes, and you're still kind of getting paid in a way because you still have plenty of money for it. Yeah. My goodness.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Everybody's staying home. Now he does a tightrope act. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're at number 3, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hog!
Clay, hope you had a wonderful Labor Day weekend. How are you?
I'm good, John. If I wasn't ready listening to that music and that intro, I'd be ready. I mean, you have to be ready listening to that.
I mean, yeah, you have to be pumped up and excited about it. But the thing is that
jumping around the kitchen. I mean, I did my little dance. I mean,
You didn't text us with you're up eating breakfast, which is what you always do at around 6:30. So we were getting a little concerned.
Yeah.
Well, I was up eating breakfast. I figured y'all were used to that. I'm sorry. I'll give you guys a a heads up from now on.
That, well, at your age, I mean, we
breakfast
were worried
is
that,
beginning.
At your age, we'd worried that you'd fallen and you couldn't get up or something. You know?
Now, hold on a second, Tommy. The insults belong to me when it comes to Clay.
Sorry.
You're not allowed to insult Clay. Only I can insult Clay. I thought we established those rules in the beginning. So,
yeah, Tommy, you're old enough that you shouldn't be doing this anymore.
I was worried you didn't have your LifeLock bracelet around your neck or something. You know, you weren't going to make it today.
Look, it's good to have you on, Clay, and we're going to have you obviously with the next 2 hours, so we'll get into a lot of different things. But I want to start first off with just your overall thoughts. Saturday's game, 20-13, Arkansas gets the victory, but it wasn't the most entertaining game of all time.
No, it wasn't, and they handcuffed themselves late in the first half by not getting two of those scores that should not have left those points on the field. And you know, one of them was an obvious mismanaged clock. You should have got at least a field goal there. The interception on the previous possessions by Nick Starkel, you know, on the goal line. It's the guy was open. You just got to throw it. You got to throw it high. You can't throw it low. I mean, that's what Joe Craddock said yesterday. Kind of the Cardinals' sin is don't give that guy a chance. And he said he didn't see the linebacker. Well, he's played enough football that you got to go find a linebacker. I mean, that's just how that works. So it was, started off on the wrong foot. Got a personal foul that ends up being the difference in giving up a field goal. Mm-hmm. You know, they by my way of thinking, that they could have had a game that would have been 30-3 or something like that, or with that, just kicking field goals not throwing an interception, you kick field goals, and really didn't feel like Portland State did enough offensively to deserve 13 points. You know, they had a 4th-and-12, 4th-and-13, quarterback scrambles, throws it up for grabs. Two guys have shots at it. Neither one of them get their hands on it. All they got to do is spike it out of bounds, and both of them look like they tried to catch it. It's 4th down, so you have to know the situation, and you're talking about the same kind of things happened in the Florida-Miami game where you're not aware of game situation, which you don't make a pass interference at the end of the game. Well, they did that on the next possession to give them another chance. So those are just, little things that you can clean up that would make a big difference in the game. Physically, they're a better team. They didn't play great at quarterback. They didn't play great at wide receivers, so they have a lot of areas where they can improve and make jumps forward. So while it's concerning that you don't blow out Portland State, I also see where they are and understand that they've got a chance to win some more games this year.
Rakeem Boyd, 18 carries, 114 yards. Clay, to me, he looked like the best football player on the field for Arkansas.
Yeah, and I'll say this, he didn't play his best football. I mean, I thought that the offensive line blocked some creases and some holes, sometimes some downright holes, and he missed a couple of those. And then on the perimeter where he got there against the air, the first defensive player that he saw got him down. And good backs are supposed to make that guy miss, make some kind of a cut that makes it a little harder, maybe run through an arm tackle here or there. He did that last year. He didn't do it Saturday. So I thought, as far as getting a few more chunk plays from him, there'll be some improvement. I bet he plays better against Ole Miss than he did in that first game. He certainly played better against Ole Miss last year than he did against Portland State. But you're right. You could give him the bulk of the carries this week. Make sure he holds up. I wouldn't throw away Devoy Whaley just yet. I think he showed some rust too. Now both of these guys haven't scrimmaged a whole lot, so you're going to get more out of them as you go forward.
And also, Clay, I don't know where this all came from, but there was a lot of people that felt like the offensive line did not play well. And I've heard, I know Tommy's heard it, I felt like they played fairly well. What did you make of that?
Yeah, people that understand offensive line play, they didn't turn very many guys loose. They were solid, and were they spectacular? No. Were they SEC elite level? No. Were they SEC middle of the road level? Probably not yet. But they were quite a few steps better than they were last year. And I thought Myron Cunningham showed, you know, some flashes. He turned a couple of guys loose and you know, as far as pass protection. But I will say this, I thought there were at least three times the quarterback, all he had to do was step up in the pocket, and instead he flushed, and it made it look like the offensive line didn't do its job. And if the quarterback steps up and delivers on time, then you're not feeling the same way about those particular plays, mm-hmm. and he's got to do better. And in fact, Chad Moore said it right after the game that's not what we want from the quarterback. So you would feel better in the offensive line if you hadn't had some drops. So I thought that they were better as far as pad level. And two old offensive line coaches who are very critical of offensive play more times than not thought that they played better. So it's, you know, it's half a dozen or another. I mean, it's each person has the right to their opinion. Are they, you know, slobber knockers? Are they knocking people around? No, but there's not very many people that do that anymore. I mean, seriously, it comes down to just a mesh and getting a hat on a hat and being consistent, you know. You want to see them flatten defensive linemen, that probably doesn't happen anymore. You know, I didn't see that happen with Louisville and Notre Dame, and I didn't see it happen with Miami and Florida. So it's about penalties. You know, are you jumping off sides or are you missing blocks? And they were improved in those areas as far as I thought they were cleaner than they were last year.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Give is to Alex Collins straight up the middle, and Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas.
We talked a lot about Portland State in the previous segment, but I don't want to look forward to a little bit with Ole Miss, because they were a team that did not look very strong against Memphis, did not look very strong offensively, especially with only 127 total yards. They were 1 of 10 on third downs. They had a few turnovers. They couldn't pass. They couldn't run. They couldn't do anything against Memphis, and that's obviously a good job by Memphis's defense, but there's obviously some problems in Rich Rodriguez's offense as the offensive coordinator there in Ole Miss in his first year. So there's some reason to feel positive about Arkansas's chances against Ole Miss, but it's still going to be a matchup that may have the determining factor on whether or not this season is successful for Arkansas in 2019.
Yeah, it looked like their offense was quarterback running, just a little bit like what Arkansas saw against Portland State. Matt Corral, I think that's how you say his name. Correct me, John. I'm more of a print guy than I am a radio guy. But did I get that right?
That's right. You got it. You did good.
Okay. He is not what you would call a downfield passer. Now, I, you know, don't want to be too critical of him, because Arkansas struggled in the downfield passing too. So, yeah, I asked you guys to do predictions in advance of the game. And sometime around Saturday night, I started getting texts from Tommy, and he goes, "I got a 0-0 tie." And I said, "No, we can't. You can't have that. You can't predict a 0-0 tie. I mean, eventually they're going to put the ball down at the 2-yard line, and, you know, and somebody's going to score.
Whether they deserve to or not."
Yeah, yeah, I mean, it's just the way the game is the logistics of it. Yeah. Somebody will score.
Yeah. Somebody's got to score at least two.
So. Yeah, and I mean, and you can score on a defensive play too. I mean, it's not like the offenses. These offenses could allow an SEC defense to score. We know that, right?
Well, Clay, they call that sarcasm that I was sending your way. So
it was the text. You didn't have any emojis. You should have sent something that showed dripping sarcasm. You know, I don't which one that is, but we'll create one for you.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, Tommy only knows one emoji, and it's the one with the middle finger that's sticking out there. Oh, that's the only one that I ever get from him.
He hasn't sent me that one yet. Is that coming?
Well, you don't work for him, so he only does it to the people that work for him. So I'm sure you'll get it at some point, Clay. But
you think I see a different side than you do?
I would guarantee that you see a different side of Tommy Kraft than what we all do here at Pearson Broadcasting, for sure. But
hey, someone's got to be in charge.
Johnny's even paying me now.
Oh, I mean, wow. Yeah. So you're no longer an intern. You got promoted.
Yeah,
he's on probation, though.
There are not too many 65-year-old interns. There may be a few.
Yeah, you and Butch Jones over at Tennessee, the oldest interns around. Clay, also just continuing on with the discussion of Ole Miss, I think that there are a few factors that you can look at and see why Arkansas will have success against Ole Miss, but it's pretty crazy, too, if you think about the history of these two teams, especially just dating back to 2010. Arkansas has had a lot of success against Ole Miss, more success against Ole Miss than any other SEC team, and you can even make the argument, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, too, that Arkansas has only lost to Ole Miss three times since 2010, and two of those games, Arkansas honestly should have won, one of those being last year. So there's not only a factor of Arkansas and Ole Miss going up against each other and how Ole Miss doesn't look that good, but there's also some history where Arkansas has had a lot of success against Ole Miss over the past few years, even when they had much better teams than what Arkansas was fielding.
Yeah, that is exactly true, and I think you nailed it. Is it, you know, it pains me to say that you nailed something, but you did. So I've got to give credit where credit's due.
Thank you.
And once a month, you do that. You summarize everything rock solid, and I just like, what has happened?
I'm consistent. You
know what I mean? You are inconsistently consistent.
There we go. Sounds good.
But I think that one thing that'll be interesting is when they see Hudson Henry, and I think he's going to play this week. He's getting some snaps in practice with the top groups, and they're going to say, "Oh my gosh, there's another one of those Henrys," and they'll have a flashback when the Henry heave. It's been some incredible stuff. And now you got to remember, last year Ole Miss they put up 611 yards of total offense or something like that. And they moved it against John Chavis's defense. Now, they don't have the same weapons, and their quarterback is not nearly the same in the passing game. He can run, but I don't think he is going to play flawless. And, you know, there'll be some things that Arkansas can take advantage of, I think, in this game. By the same token, I think Ole Miss's defense is probably a little improved over last year. Got a new coordinator. Thing that you hope, and you know, you've seen how much transition Arkansas has been in over the last few years and how it has affected them. They've got two different coordinators. Mike McIntyre is running the defense. He was head coach at Colorado last year. Rich Rodriguez was at Arizona last year? Is that but he's their offensive right. coordinator, and you know him from West Virginia and Michigan more prominently when he was really successful. It was one of the first at the college level to really run this one back spread effectively. And it's going to be a heavy dose of the read zone, the dive plays, and they gave Arkansas fits last year. I think Arkansas's defense can better handle that. I think I don't think Bumper Pool was really the answer last year, while this year I think maybe he is, and that he's a much different player at linebacker, and that the secondary with Fouché and Curl is a little different. In fact, I've already started writing my keys to victory for the week in the safety play. This group of safeties compared to last year is, I think, a step up. And we saw that against Portland State. Now, you have to temper everything and say that's Portland State. But also, we'll give credit where credit's due, in that those safeties played much, much better.
How did the dynamics change on the defensive line this week with Dorian Gerald out for not just this week, the rest of the year? I mean, that was terrible news Monday, not only for him as a player that's going to lose his season and have to redshirt in a senior season, which is something you don't see unless there's an injury. Clay, this changes a lot of things defensively, and I guess you're glad to have Jamario Bell, who's a senior, to fill in his place, but defensive line depth's always critical in the SEC.
Yeah, you're really, all along you thought these backups, these freshmen, were going to have to get some time, and now it's pretty clear they're going to get a lot of time. And that's one of the strengths of this recruiting class. And, Eric Gregory was back practicing full speed. He had a ankle surgery, the same surgery that Frank Rank had that ended his season. It's this new sleeve deal that they go in and where they take the pressure off that high ankle sprain, and you don't have it again. I don't know if they tighten it up or how they do it, but you're not going to sprain it again. And so he's had that surgery, and he's back and should have no problems the rest of the year with that. He's been cleared. Mateo Soli is listed as the starter now. It's Jamario Bell has got some kind of a little, nagging knee injury that's going to cause him to miss some snaps. May not be able to start. Probably will play. Then you've got Zach Williams, Colin Clay, and Eric Gregory. So these guys have got to play. And it reminds me of when Trey Flowers played as a true freshman, and he played okay. These guys are probably more highly regarded than he was, and it's hard to say that when you think about somebody that's on the cusp of being a Super Bowl MVP as far as his defensive play two or three times already. But these guys really have more ability than what Trey had when Trey first came to campus.
So how big is a difference is that defensive front going to make against even, and not just Ole Miss, but for the rest of the season? Because I feel like it's always tough, Clay, to look at a game one versus Portland State and really just have a bunch of takeaways to know what the rest of the season is going to hold. I don't think you can do that with any team, but it certainly seems like that defensive front in general is much more aggressive, much more sound, much more fundamental. They just seem like in that one game that we were able to see them that they understood it. They got to work on their containment, but I think that type of defensive front, if they can find consistent play out of it all, is what's going to keep them in these games. Not necessarily just win these games, but keep them in the games in the fourth quarter to at least where the offense will have a chance to win it.
John, I think that the defensive line, the linebackers in the secondary, all three areas are improved. That this is a defense that appears to play faster. And in some cases, it's the same guys. And John Chavis explained it to me a few weeks ago that they can cut it loose a lot better this year because they understand what they're trying to do and where they're trying to get. And it just for instance, there was a play where Hayden Henry was in at Sam linebacker, and I think the quarterback was trying to run a little counter play, and he snuffed it. And, I mean, he made three really quick, fast steps and had the guy down. And you didn't see that from him last year, and I think it's just a confidence level of what. But, yeah, this defensive line has the capability of making plays, and they broke free six or seven times where they could have had sacks, and maybe they were off balance or a little out of control and overran the play, and the quarterback is elusive. But I think as you go through, you'll see them break down and make those plays, and you might even have some strip sacks thrown in there, which they didn't. That, I think they were really disappointed in one area that their defensive line didn't get the ball loose from the quarterback, because almost every time that he ran, he had the ball like a loaf of bread. I mean, he carried it the way I would imagine John Neighbors carries the football.
Which is how.
It's just like, hey, I've got this, and in a little bit I'm going to lay it on the table, and we're going to cut it up and eat it.
Yeah. Like a loaf of bread.
It's carefree.
Like a loaf of bread.
Mm-hmm. Carefree, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I know. Well, that's the thing is, like, I feel like with – because I think it was Chad Morris even. Chad Morris said that in the game that they had against Portland State that they wished that they could have had more turnovers because of the way that quarterback was holding the football. They said that they should have even caused more.
What do they call those balls in jeopardy?
Yeah, the balls in jeopardy. Always got to look for those, the balls in jeopardy. So – and I think that's also what maybe made the defense showcase their abilities a little more, too, against Portland State, is they actually were causing turnovers. They were causing turnovers. I know that, of course, the quarterback has to throw bad balls. We get that. But still, they were getting turnovers, and if they can, and that was something they've been preaching a long time, and for all offseasons, get these turnovers, they want to get at least three a game.
But it starts up front because the quarterback threw bad footballs. Why? Because there was pressure in his face.
Yeah.
And that's the one thing, Clay, that while we're still maybe struggling to figure out what they're doing offensively or what the direction is, defensively, there's no doubt. I mean, it's about putting pressure on the quarterback. It's about bringing it from different directions, confusing the quarterback, making him uncomfortable. Against Portland State, I thought it was pretty clear what John Chavis was trying to do. Is they weren't being vanilla. They weren't holding much back. They were showing exactly what they want to be about.
You're right, and I think that's the good sign. And defense should be ahead of offense. I'm not surprised that the offense just wasn't clicking on all cylinders, and it will get better. And it will probably get better for Ole Miss. I bet we see two different teams offensively than what we saw. And by the same token, I'm not sure, you know, that Memphis is the kind of team that you can go in and play vanilla. So I don't think Ole Miss was that way. But I certainly think Arkansas was vanilla on offense, and that there's some things, some bells and whistles that you could add to, and they will, that they, you know, they've had this Ole Miss game circled when they felt like they let it get away last year by, you know, giving up two touchdown drives in the fourth quarter that were basically length of the field, and that they didn't, you know, those are kind of things that'll haunt an old bearded defensive coordinator. And by the way, that is what John is now. I mean, you kind of have
look like Santa Claus. On the
I think he puts on those black windbreakers just because if he puts on the red one, you know, there's going to be little kids on his lap.
Yeah.
And I hope they're not defensive ends. Yeah. I mean, that's just, you get that young defensive ends.
Yeah. Yeah. Brought to you by Williams Tractor.
Is it too early for that?
No, it's not.
Brought to you by Williams Tractor, Fayetteville, Berryville, and Bobcat of Northwest Arkansas and Rogers. They have the nonstop workhorses for your nonstop world with six different models of the PowerStar utility tractors, two cab options to choose from, and 64 to 117 engine horsepower. Choose from the two cabs, including the open-air ROPS platform and the closed-cab Vision View system. Learn more about PowerStar utility tractors available at Williams Tractor in Fayetteville, Berryville, and Bobcat of Northwest Arkansas and Rogers.
And we were talking about it earlier, Clay, but I want to bring it back. When Arkansas's had a lot of success against Ole Miss since 2010, I'm trying to figure out why that is. Because, listen, college football is a funny sport. It's a funny thing where anybody can win on any given Saturday. We all know that. We've seen upsets across the board. But there's no doubt that Arkansas in the past, since 2010, has really only had two really good years in 2010 and 2011 when they beat Houston Nutt's Ole Miss team. But ever since then, it seems like Ole Miss, in most cases, had the better seasons, had the better teams, had the better players, but yet Arkansas still found ways to be successful against them. Why has Arkansas had that success against Ole Miss more so than any other team in the SEC?
Well, I think you have to – two things. One, Arkansas has played well those weeks, and perhaps Arkansas didn't get the Ole Miss best shot. And if you'll, this is a different spot on the schedule than what it's been. And I'm interested to see how that dictates the play of the game or the flow of the game. But Arkansas has played them in a spot that maybe was, you know, unassuming a little bit. Maybe they didn't have their full attention. Maybe they just played Alabama a couple of weeks before that, or maybe there was, you know, another game looming afterwards. Maybe it was the Egg Bowl coming up. Or I mean, for whatever reason, Ole Miss has not had Arkansas circled on their calendar. It's LSU, it's Mississippi State, and Alabama. Those are the teams that get them excited. It's never been Arkansas. And for whatever reason, they haven't played their best. And, the dynamics of how things flow around the SEC, who gets who when, sometimes play. If you look at the schedule and you see how it all lines up, where the open dates fall, you know, just like, I'm not sure that there's been a lot of times where Arkansas has gotten LSU's best shot when it's right after Alabama. And I mean, I don't know how you could. So, you know, you just, sometimes you just take that and say, I'm glad to have a little bit of a gift as far as the schedule.
Yeah, and I think that with Arkansas and Ole Miss, too, you've had some crazy things happen in these games. You've had some weird things happen. Of course, we all know the Hunter Henry heave. But even in, I believe it was 2016, when that game was in Fayetteville when Chad Kelly had, you know, those moments and things, you needed a lot of wild things to happen. And I feel like, given where these two teams are at, that this upcoming game on Saturday is going to be no different. You're still going to have craziness happening. It's still going to have some weird things, maybe some horrible things, but still weird things nonetheless.
So does that surprise you guys about last year and that Arkansas didn't make the one play or didn't avoid the hit on Ty Story? Or generally, those have been the kind of games in this series Arkansas has won because that was close and Ole Miss won the game narrowly in Little Rock. So knowing the history of this series, aren't you a little surprised of how last year's game turned out?
Oh, yeah. And I think even Ole Miss was surprised of how that game turned out, because they were expecting to lose to Arkansas because that's what they've been doing for so long. And I knew it was like getting a monkey off their back finally to be able to beat Arkansas when they felt like they were in a position to. But that was the thing, is last year you had those weird things happen, the hit on Ty Story. I still think that if Ty Story remains healthy in that game, you still score at least another touchdown, and you probably would have pulled yourself away so far that Ole Miss couldn't have come back and won it. But that was certainly where you're like, if you just look at it from on paper perspective, last year Arkansas lost that game, but Ole Miss was a better team. Arkansas went 2-10, Ole Miss went 5-7. I mean, they were a better team. But this year, on paper, Ole Miss lost a lot, did not improve. They have a lot of inexperience, and they're not as good of a team. But Arkansas, at least according to us and what we've seen and what we've been studying on and what we've been reporting on, is that Arkansas is a better team than what they were last year. So given that circumstance, you would feel like Arkansas should win this game because of that fact, because Arkansas is better and Ole Miss isn't as good. But that's, again, just on paper. College football can do some funny things to you. And that's why I'm expecting Arkansas to win. And I would, if I'm a Razorback fan, I'm going to be extremely disappointed if they don't beat Ole Miss this weekend.
Yeah, I get that, John. And let me just kind of flip it around a little bit on a couple of places there. And I don't disagree totally that, you know, Arkansas has a decent chance to win. Ole Miss should be favored. They're playing at home. They're probably the wounded team. Probably didn't expect to lose to Memphis, so you're going to get something from them that maybe Memphis didn't give them. They're going to be pumped up to play. Now, I think that Ole Miss perhaps didn't expect to win last year, and maybe was surprised in the second half when they were still hanging around. They had not stopped anybody on defense really the whole year. And they didn't stop Arkansas until Arkansas started getting the injuries. But to me, the Ty Story injury was not the most significant injury that Arkansas had in the game. It was the fact that they lost. Their running game was just gashing Ole Miss, and they lost both Rakeem Boyd and Devoy Whaley. And I don't think Chase Hayden was really ready to pick up the slack of those two in the fourth quarter. And they had no running game at the end, and it was basically, you know, Cole Kelly just kind of stumbling around back there, you know, flinging it. Yeah. And they knew that, Ole Miss did, and that you really needed one decent possession at the end, and you probably would have had a chance to tuck that one away as a victory. You just didn't have the right running backs left. And I think Rakeem Boyd was going to have 250, 300 yards in that game had he not gotten hurt. And there was nothing that Ole Miss was doing to stop him. And I know that he's licking his chops, excited to get back to this game, and I think you'll see a breakout game from Rakeem this week. I wouldn't be surprised if he's the SEC player of the week when the dust settles next week.
Yeah, I do too. I think that Rakeem Boyd, in fact, is going to be the pivotal part of this game for Arkansas. Because if you can establish the run against Ole Miss, I think they're going to win. You won't have to rely on Ben Hicks or Nick Starkle.
Yeah. But, you know, we're talking about looking at Ole Miss and what they did against Memphis. What do you think Memphis is looking at Arkansas and thinks about them after the way they played against Portland State?
You mean Ole Miss, what they think about, they think about Arkansas.
Right.
Oh, I know. But what you're hoping again is that it's vanilla, Tommy.
Yeah.
They didn't showcase everything. Well, this is when the offense is going to get going.
As Scott texted in on the Cherokee Casino Hotline, I've been fed so much vanilla, I'm nauseated. So I get you, Scott.
Yeah, and there's a lot of fans that feel the same way, Scott. They don't want to see vanilla. They want to see something to get excited about. Maybe you'll see it against Ole Miss this weekend.
Yeah.
So what do you want? You want death by chocolate?
That's not a bad way to go.
I'm more of a chocolate chip cookie dough.
When I say death by chocolate, I'm talking about Ole Miss.
Mm. So you're saying Ole Miss is death by chocolate?
Yeah, I mean, they're going to be they're dead meat.
Yeah.
I mean, Arkansas is going to go over there and win.
Oh, okay. You'll take a win however it comes, even if it's in the if it's 20-13 in an ugly fashion like Portland State, you'll still take the victory for sure.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
All right, so it's a What's Your Beef Wednesday. Now, Clay, you have not joined us for What's Your Beef Wednesday just yet, so let me explain the rules to you so that way you don't screw it up. What's Your Beef Wednesday is when you have to give whatever it is you're beefing with, and you have to say why you're beefing with it. It can be a person. It can be a thing. It's just essentially something that upsets you, frustrates you, angers you, and you get to vent here on the Morning Rush. Can you handle that?
I can. Okay. You ready for me to go?
Not yet. We got sounders. We got some imaging. We got some stuff we got to take
care
of.
We'll give you your cue.
Yes, we will let you know when you can go. And, if, of course, any of you listeners.
You're like that bull at the rodeo. We're just going to keep you in the pen a little while longer before you come raging out.
Yes,
right?
Exactly. So if you're.
I've already nodded my cap. I gave it the nod.
All right. Oh, well, great.
Open the gate.
Well, if you are a listener.
Open the gate.
If you're a listener.
Open the gate.
Hey, I'm talking to the listeners, Clay. Chill.
Open the gate.
Chill.
Open the gate.
Tommy, might have to mute him.
I nodded my head. Open the gate.
Call or text into the Cherokee Casino Hotline, 877-377-6963, if you want to give us your beef. We'll be sure that we read it on the air. So without further ado, let's jump right into it.
What is wrong with you?
I want to complain.
I'm complaining.
I want to complain about
complaining.
I want to complain.
It really pisses me off today.
To simply listen to people whine and complain.
I'm angry. I'm spitting angry. I'm like a tornado of anger swirling about. My heart rate is dangerously high right now.
I'm complaining because not enough people tickle, hug, or smile.
I'm so mad I could eat ball bearings and crap BBs.
It's time for What's Your Beef Wednesday.
All right, it is What's Your Beef Wednesday. So, Clay, since this is your first one and you're old, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to let you
Open
go
the gate.
First.
Open the
Opening the gate. Go after it, Clay. What's your beef today?
Okay, I thought that was a perfect intro. You know, crapping ball bearings. I don't know what you do when you go to the bathroom in that studio, John, but apparently Ty does. Because he aired your, let's put it this, the odor of John and described
sounds like great radio.
In details. It was. I texted Phil, please, please move on from this smelly segment. And he says we're about to flush.
Ty, are you guilty of this?
Yeah, I mean, I talked about it yesterday. I walked in the bathroom. John hadn't sprayed after he took a dump. So,
well, I didn't take a dump yesterday in the bathroom, so it wasn't me.
Some things are sacred.
Hey,
now, what is this? Like, how did this? What is your show? Is your show? You had, hold on a second, Clay. You had the first show after Razorback football game one, and somehow this came up on your show.
We have a get off my lawn segment, and then I walked in the bathroom after you walked out. And it smelled like crap, and there was definitely no spray. And you've talked about to us that there's people in this office that spray too
much. Now we're defiling this show.
Yeah. My goodness.
So
wow, sounds fantastic. Well, so that's what
your beef is?
That's what you're beefing, Clay?
I can understand.
I'm beefing that Ty does not understand that there. When you go to Vegas, things stay in Vegas. When you go in the bathroom, things stay in the bathroom. You don't bring them out. You don't talk about it. I mean, first it was every other word was garner this, garner that. And now it's like we have to listen to a whole set. I felt sorry for Phil Elson yesterday.
Phil was the one that egged it on, Clay. He was like, you need to start with this one first. So.
No, I don't think so. That's you talking.
It's in the rundown.
I'll get that. We'll bring this up on Phil's show, which, by the way, it is Phil's show. And I will be really, really watching to see how much longer he carries you, Ty. I mean, it's just hard, man. Almost a whole year, but you keep doing things like this,
like, and we're out of here.
You know, he's gonna look for the next young bright intern and decide that this promising bright intern, you know, hit a few stop signs and he just stopped somewhere in the middle of the road. He thought he made it and he didn't. So,
are you
keep
saying
doing
that
stuff about bathrooms? And you will be cleaning them, Ty. You will not be talking about them.
It's a pretty great beat.
That is a great ending paragraph right there.
Well, that was, you know,
great man. You keep talking about them, you're going to be cleaning them.
I give you credit, Clay. I didn't know what to expect with your first What's Your Beef, but that was strong. That was a strong
one. That's a great way to come out of the gate.
Yeah. So I don't even know how we can follow that up with it now. But I guess we can try to attempt to. By the way, we actually had Mike in Albuquerque text in our Cherokee Casino hotline. He says, why did Clay bring it up again?
Yeah,
well, I was like, because he's Clay.
Yeah, Clay.
And that's why it's happening. So, but I'm glad that you could use me on your show. I appreciate it.
You know, all who right. calls the narc, narc, a narc, narc.
Yes.
Well, I had another one. I was in the gate on the bull, ready to open the gate, and I changed gears. Instead of leaning to the left, I leaned to the right. To the left, I was going to say Ty failed to turn in his prediction for the first 2 weeks of the season.
You know, wait, the second week you forgot to do it?
All right.
He didn't. He missed the first week, and then he missed the second week.
Oh, for crying out loud.
First of all, I have a valid excuse on the first week because I wasn't in studio when you guys talked about it. Mm-hmm. And so I'll take that. I did not have a valid excuse last week. Honestly, I'll take that right in the mouth because I just screwed up last week. First week, didn't know the time that it was due by.
And how does the old song go in the seventh inning stretch? And three strikes, you're out?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's got one more chance.
I told Clay, third time's the charm this week. So we'll see. We'll see how that goes.
I know people were waited with bated breath to see what the prediction was.
Ty, there is nothing charming about you, so just throw that one out.
Now you're just getting hurtful, Clay.
Yeah.
I know.
We're getting personal now.
Well, that's what your piece about.
Yep.
All right.
There are some times that you do really well, Ty. It just hadn't been lately.
Yeah, it's been a while.
All right, Clay. Very strong effort in your first What's Your Beef. Tommy, what you got?
I got about three calls and a bunch of texts from buddies and people of mine that just wanted to pour on the Razorbacks. And listen, that's fair. But the thing they wanted to pour on the most was the offensive line, which I thought might have been one of the more improved areas of the team.
I thought so.
In relation. I think, Clay, the way you summed it up earlier, are they all SEC? No. Are they middle SEC? Probably not yet. But that wasn't the reason this offense struggled to get into the end zone. That was one of the reasons it put them in the red zone and gave them a chance. There were far more reasons why they didn't score points, and it wasn't really on the offensive line. Going back and watching the game again for the second time, I thought they did a really good job with pass protection. Run blocking still needs some work, and I thought even on the pass protection, when they snuck the back out of the backfield, whether it was Boyd back there, a lot of times Whaley or Hayden, they need that extra guy back there to pick up the blitz, to chip off blockers. I thought they really struggled protecting the quarterback who had to get out of the pocket or flushed or got sacked the one time when the back left the backfield. But the point I mean, the reason I have the beef is if you understand football and you watch the game and you go back and you look at the plays, the offensive line led them to 200 yards rushing and nearly 200 passing and nearly a 400-yard day. Guys, I thought the offensive line played above my expectations. Maybe it's because I had very low expectations, but the struggles with this team, while the offensive line must get better, that's not where it starts and begins. To me, there was a couple other areas of the offense that must improve before Saturday in order to give them a chance to win at Oxford. My beef is just not really understanding. Some of these guys out here not understanding. We've taken calls, text on the Cherokee Casino hotline, complaining about the offensive line. Listen, there's bigger fish to fry than that right now with this offense.
I actually thought the offensive line, of all the things to look at and actually feel a little uneasy about, the offensive line wasn't one of them. I mean, no. I thought that there were a lot of other issues going on before that one.
Were there plays? Yes.
Of course.
But it wasn't four
glaring
quarters.
Yeah. It wasn't just like, oh, my goodness, they're getting whipped.
It's been much worse the last couple of seasons.
Yeah. But, hey.
So, yeah, if the receivers catch five passes, you're probably looking at a 475-yard day. And I mean, it's and they had time on those passes. Just drops.
I didn't understand.
Tommy, I think you're right. They may have some step backs, and we might be still talking about them, that they're a weakness, but that wasn't what happened Saturday.
You want to talk about something? Talk about the fact that Portland State played man on your wide receivers and you didn't get a lot done with some of these guys. That's the thing that's, to me, most concerning is how Arkansas's receivers still didn't get separation in man coverage from Portland State.
Well, let's talk about that, Tommy, because they did a really good job of disguise in that the pre-snap read was man, and that's the way they played last year, but the post-snap read was zone, and that they rolled in. They gave you a single high safety look with the strong safety in the box, and he backed out almost every time, and then they rolled into two high, you know, kind of that Tampa look. The pass that was open was the seam pass down the middle, and you saw him hit that. I think it was Nick Starkle hit Trey Knox, mm-hmm. and that was the pass that was open. And they were playing over the top of the – and it didn't look like it in the pre-snap reads, but that was the frustration, is that they knew they were going to play that way, but they didn't know they were going to play 90% of the game in that zone, two high safeties with help over the top. And it should have opened up the middle.
And that's one of my beefs from the game, is should have been more shots down the field.
No question.
Should, yeah. And that's the one thing with these – with Joe Craddock and Chad Morris, that – I don't know if the eyes in the box weren't giving it to him. I don't know. But there should have been more shots down the field with the way they were lined up.
Yeah, they have just about a deep shot on every play. I mean, they've got somebody going. And they missed two of them that were open, and they had checkdowns. And that's what they were doing. They were checking down either short passes or runs. And that was the look that it suggested. But every once in a while, even though – the look says check it down, your guy might beat their guy, and you've got to take some chances there, and they didn't. And I think that just a little bit out of sync in a lot of ways really handicapped this offense, and that's what happens a lot in game one. It's not often that you just come out and you sizzle in all areas on offense. You have a better chance on defense. But I like your beef there, Tommy.
Can I give my beef now, Clay? Will you allow me?
Go ahead, sassy dog.
Thank you. All right. I was waiting for that response. All right. So you kind of alluded to my sports beef, because I got a sports beef and a non-sports beef. Mm-hmm. But I'll go with the beef that you alluded to. Is I was beefing with the Razorback offense and the play calling, just because I wanted to see more tempo. I wanted to see a little more fast pace. I wanted to see a couple of shots down the field. I'm not saying you got to show your entire hand and on offense against Portland State. I think that it's fine if Chad Morris wanted to be a little more vanilla, but you're telling me you couldn't have one play or one series, one possession, to where you mixed it up a little bit, went a little fast, showcase a little bit of it? I was really disappointed to see that, because I thought that this was full tilt boogie. I thought this was left lane hammer down, and I wanted to see a little bit of it, because if you're going to do it against any team, Portland State would probably be a very good team to do it against, and I didn't get to see it. So that was kind of my sports beef. My non-sports beef has to do with the Labor Day weekend. And what have we talked about, Tommy? And anytime we travel or go somewhere or anything like usually the next Wednesday.
On a tee.
Yeah, next Wednesday has something that we are beefing with. So I am going to beef with, there's a few things that happened on this trip. But anyways, I'll try to keep it pretty concise. So my buddy bought a boat. He doesn't need a boat. He has no business owning a boat.
Has he ever owned a boat before?
He didn't even have his boating license before he bought the boat.
So he's young enough, he has to have a boating license.
That's right. Right. So he buys a boat, and he is all excited about it. We're all excited about it. We go out on Labor Day weekend. Well, as we're putting it all, you know, getting it all together and whatnot, the guy that he bought the boat from comes up and says, "All right, this is a great boat. You're going to enjoy it. You're going to love it. But here's the thing you guys got to remember. Fatty's in the front." He says, "Remember that phrase, fatty's in the front." And what he was referring to is that when you're driving on this particular boat, you got to have a lot more weight on
right.
the front of it.
You don't want to put the prop too far down in the water.
I assume that's what he was talking about. I trust your judgment on it.
You sure that he's not just has a new nickname for you?
Well, that's what I was going to refer to, is that, and if you can believe this, Clay, you've seen me. It's not like I got a six-pack of abs, but
you have a six-pack, but
but no abs to go along with it.
It's covered in pudding.
But the thing is that I am actually the smaller of my friends, if you can believe it.
Smart guy. Hang out with guys that are bigger. Makes you
makes
look
you
better.
Look, exactly.
It makes you look
exactly.
better.
Exactly. That was what I was going for. So my whole beef was the fact that I didn't get to ride in front of the boat very much. I had to sit in the back kind of either by myself or with somebody that really I didn't want to talk to. So I didn't get to ride on front. I didn't get to enjoy the sun. I didn't get to have any of that because on the boat,
the
I was
first world problem.
Because I wasn't fat enough.
This is weak.
I should have been fat enough. What are you talking about? It's a weak beef. It was something I was frustrated by.
But you got to be out on the lake. You got to be out enjoying the sun.
Get to enjoy the sun because I wasn't on the front of the boat. It's got a cover.
First world problems.
I'm just saying. It was really frustrating.
So this is a beef segment, so all I can say is that you're going to have to bulk up.
Yeah. Come on, we'll go eat some catfish for lunch.
Okay, see, when I hear bulk up, I think of, like, you know, getting the gains in the gym. You're referring to just eating as much as I can to get some fat, right?
It's more fun the way me and Clay do it.
I agree.
It is the perfect challenge. You know, it's like, I need to bulk up, I'll bulk up. And I'm going to be in the front of the boat.
Yeah. Baby back ribs, catfish.
Why can't my friends just
ribeye steaks
not eat that way? That's what I
think. Bulking up the way me and Clay do it is far more entertaining.
Every time you pass a Brahms, pull in and get you an extra large shake.
No, I mean, just double scoop, you know.
Yeah, you got to do it the right way, Clay. You got to do it the right way. But you see, but I also brought this up, too, because I know both of you individuals are boat people. You guys have your own boats. So
Plural, boats.
I need to know why, like, first off, what's the purpose behind having the weight on the front of the boat? And second off, can you fish outside of a boat that's not in a fishing boat? Or can you fish on a boat that's not a fishing boat?
Absolutely.
That's what I said. And they all looked at me like I was crazy. No.
I've got a pontoon boat.
You are crazy, so I understand that. Mm-hmm. But that they're wrong in that. And by the way, I don't refer to. I mean, there's categories of water crafts. You know, boats are just little small things. I have a ship.
A ship.
Yes, mine is a ship.
I figured you had a yacht, Clay.
Ship and yacht are similar.
Oh, okay, okay. So what are the chances that you invite me onto your ship?
Done. Yeah, and you can sit in the front.
With the sun out.
When you got a proper ship, it doesn't matter where people sit. They can go anywhere they want to. It's not going to affect the ballast. You got a little podunk boat, then it does affect where people sit. Just tell that guy he's got a little podunk boat. If he has to tell you, you can't sit here or you can't sit there because of weight distribution, he's got a podunk boat.
Well, I'll tell him that, Clay. And here's the other great thing about it, though, is that I have it made because I don't own a boat, but I know a guy that has a boat.
There
and
you
he's
go.
A friend of mine, so I don't have to worry about the upkeep and the maintenance and all that. I just use a boat, and then I get done with it. I move on.
What is it they say? What does boat stand for? You know what BOAT stands for, doesn't it? Bust out another thousand. So.
Yeah, I don't think he's figured that out yet.
Yeah,
He hasn't learned that. But it was a good time, though. It was a good Labor Day weekend. So that's kind of it's always the last hurrah on Labor Day weekend when you're actually able to enjoy the outdoors a little more, because then it gets football season, it gets a little colder. So, but I don't think that's going to stop you and Clay from going out on the lake or the river or whatever you guys do up there.
Fish. The trout must be caught and then released. Yes.
I still don't understand that about fishing, why you throw it back.
Well, if you're not going to eat
it. So that it gets bigger.
So, yeah, that's so you can catch it again.
So you only throw it back if it's not big enough. That's the only time you do it.
No, you throw them all back.
The bigger ones, throw back.
That's how you make a trophy.
Right.
Send them back.
So you throw back the bigger ones.
Yes.
Yeah,
throw them all back.
To me.
Yeah, I keep
some. If you want to eat fish, you go to Long John.
I'm not as pure a sportsman as Clay is.
Obviously.
Yeah.
If you want to eat fish, you go to Adam Daly's place.
Yeah.
Don't mess around with cleaning them and everything. Just go to his place and eat the catfish.
Well, can you make me some catfish? Because you catch them and all that. Can you do it?
Can I make it?
Yes.
Yeah, I can do that. But there's no catfish in the river.
No.
It's cold water.
Okay. Well, I'm just going to trust you guys' judgment on this thing because I know nothing about it. You guys sound like you know what you're talking about, at least in my mind. So I'll just go along with it and feel good about it. So, but and maybe one day, because that's the thing. It took Tommy a while to invite me to his house. Now it's the next step is inviting me out to his lake house where we can actually hang out and have a good time.
Yeah.
I didn't do it this summer. Maybe next summer.
Place been there.
Exactly. It shows where the pecking order is on this show.
Clay's my neighbor there.
No. So like your neighbor down the road,
so here's
or like neighbor
here's,
neighbor.
Here's how it works. He's upriver and I'm midriver. Mm-hmm. So that's how we refer to our location in Norfolk. Where's Tommy live? He lives upriver. I live midriver.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Like the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast? Check out the Halftime Pod at hitthatline.com.